In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. We are treated to this parable of the wedding feast, where a king sends out invitations to a great party, this grand gathering, the wedding reception of all wedding receptions. There will be music and dancing and feasting and laughter. Now, because of quirks in the liturgical calendar, we do not get Matthew's version of this parable every year. We always get Luke's version during Advent, and we will about 3 months from now. Luke spends a fair amount of time on the excuses the various people make who refuse to attend the king's party. Matthew barely mentions the excuses, but spends quite a bit of ink on a particular detail that Luke omits altogether. And since we don't get Matthew's version every year, I'd like to look at this detail and maybe one other brief element unique to Matthew's account of this story. So first, Matthew's brief element I want to be sure we include is this, and it's so short that one could easily miss it. After the first two rounds of invitations are sent out, and those initial wave of recipients refuse to come in, the servants are sent out to the highways and the hedges, begging people to come in. That bit is the same in Matthew and Luke. But Matthew remembers this notable element. The servants gather everyone they find, both the bad and the good. Really important detail. We'd expect, of course, that the good be brought in. Not everyone would expect the bad, but they are. The kingdom of heaven is open to everyone, and there's nothing you and I can do to earn an invitation or to merit a spot. That's not how the invitation to paradise works. As St. John Chrysostom puts it when commenting on this very verse, he says, "The harlots and the tax collectors shall inherit heaven, because being invited is not by merit, but by grace." The harlots and the tax collectors shall inherit heaven, because it is not by merit, but by grace. In other words, the invitation to the kingdom of heaven is a gift, and a gift offered to everyone, both bad and good. And honestly, aren't we all a blend of both? Thanks be to God, the bad are also invited in. It means I get my invitation too. So next, the unique detail that Matthew gives a lot of ink to it is this. The wedding hall is finally filled with guests, and the king comes in to see them, to be with them, right? And the king spots a guest who's not wearing a wedding garment. So the king comes to this guest and says, friend, how are you here without a wedding garment? And this guest is speechless and subsequently evicted from the party. Now, when I was a child, that part bothered me to no end. Remember, the servants were sent out and they beat the highways and the hedges, begging people to come in. And then this poor person gets kicked out for not having nice enough clothes. That's how my kid brain operated. Now, here's the thing. Nobody had nice enough clothes for this wedding reception. The king knows that. There's not one guest there that's got nice enough clothes for the king's banquet. But the king has this, as it were, a giant closet full of garments, one exactly the size of everybody that's coming. All you have to do when you show up is accept your garment and put it on. It's free with admission. So it has nothing to do with poverty. It's all about refusing a gift. It's like when I was first ordained at seminary. I couldn't afford my own set of priest vestments. But the seminary had a whole closet full of vestments. Now, if I'd tried to serve liturgy in my street clothes, Father Hopko would have put an immediate stop to that. He'd say, "Friend, if you want to serve, put on the vestments. They're right there." The other thing my kid brain got wrong was thinking that this wedding garment was about clothes in the first place. This is a parable, so the real meaning lies below the surface, and the real meaning, of course, has nothing to do with the clothes that this guest or any of us are wearing. It's not about clothes. So then what is this wedding garment? What does it represent in our Savior's parable? Well, Jesus is actually going to give us the answer in next Sunday's gospel lesson. But so that you don't have to wait that long, I will let you know today. According to St. Theophylact, the wedding garment is to be clothed with compassion and love. To be clothed with compassion and love. It is, in other words, the newness of life that we receive at baptism. Compassion and love. So when the king comes up to this guest and says, "Friend, why haven't you put on a wedding garment?" It's really God saying to each of us, "My dearest friend, where is your compassion? Where is your love?" Love is here for the taking. Don't you want it? And it's very telling that this guest is speechless. There is no excuse to not have love, to not have compassion. You know, it doesn't matter if I was rich or poor. It doesn't matter if I'm old or young. It doesn't matter if I've had a hard life or an easy life. It doesn't matter if I'm a saint or a sinner. Everyone is capable of love and compassion because divine love and divine compassion are a gift that we're given. We're given it first. We don't have to conjure it up. We're capable of it because God has already placed it within us. Love and compassion are gifts of God, free for the taking. All I have to do is accept. Have you ever had a situation where someone has caused you pain, or their behavior just bewilders you, you don't get them, or their opinions are so different from your own, and internally you start to feel this choice welling up, that to either withdraw in your heart to a place of judgment, or to soften your heart and see their humanity. You know, like when they offend you, you almost feel that choice moment where you can go one way or the other. That moment where you feel the choice is nothing short of God's grace. Nothing short of that closet being opened for you to choose. The moment of choice is divine freedom. That wee moment of freedom is God opening the wardrobe and inviting you to put on love and compassion. Now, this particular guest chooses not to. And maybe there's a pain they won't let go of it. Maybe there's another guest or 100 that they don't think should have been invited to the reception. Whatever the reason, this guest is choosing to not have love and compassion. And still the king gives him another chance. Friend, where is your love? And that guest is speechless and doesn't want it. And now the proof that this love and compassion, that they're a choice, is that all the other guests there did choose love. All the other guests there did choose compassion. They were pulled from the same highways and hedges as the one we're focusing on, which means that in every situation, love can be chosen. It can always be chosen. To put on the divine garment offered to you, to become a being of love and compassion is a choice. And it's not just a one-and-done choice. It's a choice that's going to come up every day of your life, multiple times a day. For this person in front of me in this hour, do I withdraw in fear or judgment, or do I see their common humanity and soften my heart? Amen.